And
no, I definitely take a loss from that. Introduced Rabbi Menachem Liebtag, our Friday morning shiur, 9:30. Okay. Rama's dedication. As we go through, is it Yeshayahu today?
What?
We're doing Yeshayahu?
The third Yomi starts in Yale this week, but I've got to finish up a couple of things. I want to do a Yeshayahu finish up, and then we'll see how Yeshayahu goes into Yale. Okay. I think we're up to last time. Last week, I had to go to Tzfat last week for Shabbaton, and we left early for a deal, so Yitzibah stopped for me. I didn't know this before. Last week,
Yitzhak Blah was here.
Your boss? Your boss?
You're not on the list?
Because Joe couldn't do it.
No, Joe couldn't do it, so they got. I wrote Yitzhak, just wrote him an email.
You have to say, because Noam switched from email to SMS, to WhatsApp, and you have to get in his WhatsApp group.
Okay. That's a good sign.
I'm in somebody's
WhatsApp
group, but it doesn't
sound. I like emails better. WhatsApp, when you get a WhatsApp, you don't know.
What?
If you didn't answer it, like you don't see it. Like if you get a WhatsApp message, you don't answer, you don't see it waiting for you.
Oh, so you have to give a partial share.
That's how you set your phone.
You have to give a partial share. I was here last week. It was very good.
I got something from. Oh, that was Menzel.
Okay, so I want to do the time period. We talked about the time period with Yel when the sun was affluent and. The prosperity and affluence, he yells and tempers the behavior and says, I'm going to bring in a short. And then what happens is that, sure enough, towards the end of Uziel's reign, we had that story with Uziel being Torah that we talked about that shows his haughtiness of what the leader's doing reflects what's happening in the country. And then his son takes over, and then there's a little detail here. At the end of, they open up Sefer Malachim Aleph, I mean Malachim Bet. Malachim Bet, Perek should be Chav Aleph, yeah.
So wait, what is it?
Perek Chav. Sorry.
Yeah, which page?
Malachim Bet.
Which page?
In Malachim Bet. One second. Perek. Perek Tetzayin.
15.
We're going to go to the transition. Okay, the end of chapter 15 in Malachim Bet. In Perek Tetzav, in Melachim Bet, Pasek Lamed Bet. It says, Bishnat Shtayim Lotechat Ben Rumel Melach Yisrael, Malach Yotam Ben Uziel Melach Yudah. So again, in the second year of Pekah, remember who's Yerobam, the house of Yehu is gone already. It was a great one. Now there's just Kudit has every couple of years. Pekah's the king of Israel, and he's the one who makes the treaty with Aram. Yotam, the son of Uziel, becomes king after his father got Zorah. Then the 25 shana hayavam achol, the 16 shana ma'af b'shayim, the shim yomo yurusha b'atzadot. Listen carefully about Yotam. V'yasa yashar b'nei Hashem, k'va shirasa Uziel aviv. He was good, did straighten eyes of God, just like Uziel aviv. Raka b'mot asar, olam zabchim b'katim b'mot. They didn't get rid of the b'mot, we talked about that before. That's nothing so terrible. Bamod is Avodat Hashem, not Avodah Zarah. So they didn't go, but what do you expect from them? They're living, they're, it's like saying you have to have a great synagogue you can't go to. You can't have a Shiva. Okay. Hubanash Sharbet Hashem Helion, he also picks up the Beit HaMikdash. In other words, this is the only king in all of Sefer Melachim, not one bad word about him.
Yotam.
The only one, there's not one negative thing about him. Right. David, something was wrong. Shlomo, something wrong. Every single king, either in Melachim or Divrei, I mean, there's something bad about him. Yoshiel is pretty good, but he goes to war against, goes to war with Megiddo that he wasn't supposed to do. There's not one thing, even Ramuz, anything bad about him. Got that? Keep that in mind.
Except for the Bamot. What?
Except for the Bamot, but that's for everybody. Bamot is not about the Zohar. Bamot is... And he fixes, and he doesn't turn down the temple. He's building the temple. He builds Beit Shar, Shar Beit Hashem El Yom. V'yeti divrei Yotam b'chol asher asah lo k'tuvim asif v'divrei mim l'mach Yehuda. V'yamim ahem, during his time period, what happened? Hechel Hashem l'shlich v'Yehuda ritzin melech Aram v'tekaf ben Ramayel. Who starts giving Yehuda trouble? This coalition between the northern tribes, Shomron, it's going to be Tekka, and Ritzin, the king of Aram.
Well, says Hashem incited them.
That's it. We'll see in a minute. Ve'ishkav yotam imavotah, ve'ikaber imavotah, v'yir David, ve'imdot hachas b'not tachtav. So we had known nothing about Yotam, although it's just 15 years he was king for. Nothing, obviously, so bad about God, to God, as far as Sefer Melchim is concerned. But during his reign, things start to get bad militarily. Remember, Uziel was great. It was a high point in Jewish history. We were doing great. Why? Because Aram, sort of, I don't know, Achav and Aram had their battles, but they're out of the picture. Yehi was able to defeat them. And the whole house of Yerubam ben Yoash, I'm sorry, was a big superpower up north. And things were going good, basically, during Uziel's time. And now, all of a sudden, things go bad. Who are people going to blame it on? They're going to blame it on God. See why in a minute. Because we're doing that for them. Now, in this background, you have to understand Uziel. Because what's Uziel saying? Of course, your temple is good. There's no terrible idol worship and things like that. But because you're God's people, I expect your society to be better. And the society problems... Now, in Sefer Melchim, it never says that people weren't taking care of the poor and the needy. We're talking about Sefer Melachim. Sefer Melachim is coming with a different agenda. As far as the big agenda of Sefer Melachim is going to be the Bamot, the Agalim, the Dam, and Beit El, and idol worship and things like that.
Now, just a question.
Yeah.
Most people are. It's an agrarian society. Most people are farmers. Are you saying when they don't take care of the poor and the needy, they weren't doing leket and peya and shifa? They were blocking people from getting food. It's like
I would say they're not sharing their wealth, but the way they're treating the poor and the needy is disgusting, and the way they're taking advantage of the power, and the way everything's running by shohad. They're probably still stuck on organizations, but they're also being run a bit crooked.
I mean, the government therefore is corrupt.
The government, the leadership, the people, it seems like a general society thing. When you read, we say Yeshayahu, there's... Yeah?
How can it say, Vayas, Hayashav, and then Hashem, and all this stuff is going on? How do you...
Right.
You're saying that God doesn't really care about it, based on this.
No.
Or the author of Malachim doesn't care about it.
Okay. So instead of Malachim, the kings get a report card. Every king gets a report card, and it's a pass-fail system. It's not an ABCD, it's not a number system. What's the highest grade you can get? Vayas Yashar Ben Hashem, that's an A. An A plus is Kedavid. You're like David. What's a minus? Yerobam. You're as bad as Yerobam Ben Yoash. Asher Teit Yisrael. And maybe they'll throw in Abu Dhabal. But David is good. Yerobam is the bad. That's the benchmark. Vayas Ra, Kerobam Ben Yoash, Melech Yisrael. Or Vayas HaTobin, Rav Ben Hashem. And usually it's between, it has to do usually with either idol worship, or the main thing is to split in Yerushalayim. What the book is going to talk about in Sefer Melachim is coming to pretty much solve once and for all that the split kingdom was the root of all trouble in Beit Rishon. And when they come back in Beit Sheni, we want to make sure it's not happening again. When Yirmiyahu is going to do the final redacting of Sefer Melachim, we're quoting earlier Levim, and we're quoting from the Chronicles of the time. But his main point he's going to be making is that the root of all the problems of Beit Rishon was the split kingdom. And that's why Chet Rabam is the worst thing possible. And whenever Yerushalayim is united, things are good, and when things are... And it talks about Avon Hazar a little bit, but the grade that the kings get is not... It's not on everything. It's just basically based... pretty much based on how they relate to Yerushalayim and uniting the kingdom. Again, that has to do with what's underlying Kim of Sefer Melachim. But your question is exactly going to explain Achaz. What's bothering everybody is exactly what I want everyone to bother everybody. Because look at the next line in Perek Tet Zayin. B'shach Sheva Slay Shana Lepechach Ben Ramayo Melach Achaz Yotam Ben Yotam Melach Yudah Bersim B'shana Achaz Memochov B'shach Slay Shana Melach Yushalayim B'lo Atzai Yashar Ben Yashem K'David David B'edah B'edah Machai Yisrael. Listen carefully now. וגם את בנו הביר באש, כתוב התוגן אשר ריש אשמותם בפני בני ישראל, והצבח והכתב עמוד על הגבעות, ותק פקס רענן, עד שאלה רצים מלך רם פקס ורמיו, הישראל יושן למחמה, יצאו לה על החס ולא יחוד ללכם. Now, we'll stop here for a minute. What's happening? Achaz goes into idol worship. He aligns himself, we'll see him with Ashur. His arch enemy is Aram and Israel. That was, there's a coalition between Syria and the Shomron, and against Yehuda and Iraq. Got it? Iraq is Ashur. And Achaz is hoping to solve his problem by going to an outside power. But the main thing that's bothering Achaz is that he's pretty much had it with God. Why? Because his father, in his eyes, was a righteous king. Achaz doesn't understand, why are we doing so bad politically? Why is the North going against us? How come Aram, how come this coalition with Aram and Ritzin is fighting us? And therefore Achaz is pretty much headed with God. And what he's going to do in his anger with God, he's going to close down the Mikdash. And he's going to, basically he's going to make Ashur the new God, and the new king. And we're going to see that in a minute in Yishayel. This is back, just two more lines in Malachim.
That doesn't mean he believes in these gods. He's just making political expediency, I imagine.
Yeah, he's angry. In general, here's the key problem in all Sefer Melachim, for good or for bad. When you have a temple and you have prayer, people think, have this idea that the gods are working for you. It's an age-old problem in religion. It's a core problem that all the living deal with. That you believe in a god, and you connect it to the god because that god can help you. That's how you sell religion most of the time. And therefore, if we have a god, and we have a temple, and we pray to this God, then we're hoping this God will help us win our wars. If we're praying to our God, and we're losing battles, we have a lousy God. And therefore, what do we need to do? If we keep on losing, we gotta try other gods. Either out of our anger, our own God's not helping us, but the gods are working for them. Now, Chumash comes up with this crazy idea that God judges you based on your social behavior, and you win or lose wars, or you'll have a famine, or a good economy, based on your just society. But no one buys that, even though we say it every day in Shema. To this day, that people don't buy that. When things go wrong, people go around davening harder, and saying more tefillim, and not. I mean, someone might mention, give a little extra tzedakah here and there. But the big efforts are on the prayer side, not at the social justice side. Because that's how people view religion. And that's what Isaiah is fighting left and right. But what's happening in the time of, we'll see in a minute with Achaz and Sefer Yishayahu, they're having trouble militarily and they don't understand why things are so bad. Now, Isaiah's entire point is telling the people, God's angry with you not because of idol worship, but because of your unjust society. That's what he was screaming in the time of Isaiah. Yeah.
How do you say that Kriyat Shema proves what you're saying? Kriyat Shema talks about Hashem. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't say what you're saying, but if you were to read it just
If you read it without Sefer Dvarim, you're right. Yes, Vayim Shemot Yishma B'Klavo. If you keep his laws, but what are the laws of Sefer Dvarim? Most of the laws of Sefer Dvarim are about building a just society.
Love
Hashem. So Chazal said,
"Sabbath Shabbat." Yeah.
Okay.
But pray a little more. But
when you read Sefer Dvarim from cover to cover and follow the speech and the content of the book, the main thing he's saying is keeping the mitzvot of Sefer Dvarim.
It also looks like extreme double standards, because God's not holding accountable to these nations around. They're horrible nations. So why strengthen them at our expense?
Yeah, so that's exactly what Nabi, that's exactly what Yishayahu's going to say. Hoy Ashur Shevet Avi. I'm using Ashur, but he's no tzaddik.
And they'll get their
job.
They don't last.
Yeah, we're
going to
see that.
They're gone.
We can say that today. We know that today, but in real time.
In real time, I'm saying I understand why the people go against God. That's all. That's,
In real time, Ashur came up and they left. Look at Paras, how long will they last? still on the last parallel. And by the time that happened, they had three or four or five enemies had come and gone and disappeared.
That's what Yeshayahu is going to talk about. And Yirmiyahu said the same thing later about Patro. So this is two more lines now in Perek Tet Zayin. Perek Tet Zayin Pasuk Hey. Az Yeh Levertzi Melech Aram Upechat Ben Ramayo Melech Yisrael B'Yushalayim Lelechama V'yatsuru Alacha Az B'Lichu Lelechem. Then comes the big war.
Wait, who couldn't fight?
What?
They couldn't fight?
There was no Hachra on the battle. It didn't go either way. Beitahi, during that time period, Aram was able to take over Eilat. That was under, remember, when Israel is controlling Eilat, that means we're a superpower. We're doing great. During the time of Uziel and Yerobam, the second Yerobam, we were working together with the north, and we were controlling the trade routes, and we had military control and economic control of the port in Eilat. That made us great. Now, during this time period, Aram is growing, and Aram takes over Eilat. That's not today, but till the time the books are written. So Achaz is stuck now. He's at a stalemate with the Torah, and but his empire is being eaten up. Never, what does he do? Instead of going to God for help, he goes to Ashur. I'm working for you. Where's he get his funding from to send the money?
The temple.
He robs the temple. What happens? Iraq takes over Syria. Takes over Damascus. And that turns the tide in the war between Ashur and Ram. In other words, we picked the right, Achaz made the right political decision going with Achaz. And then one more line. Vayelech HaMelech Achaz Yikra Keilai Tolesa HaMelech Ashur Damesek Vayat HaMisbeach Asher B'Damesek Vayashach HaMelech Achaz Et Uri HaKoin V'Tmut HaMisbeach V'Tat Mito. Basically, he goes to meet his new friend Tiglat Pileser. He meets him when he takes over Damascus. In Damascus, he sees this big altar honoring the king of Ashur. And what does he tell his Koin to do? You come back, and I want to build an Assyrian temple on Harabai. And he redoes God's temple, and basically what's he saying? We have a new God. We're aligning ourselves with Ashur, the superpower. God doesn't do us. What good is it helping God?
Can the king have that power against all the Kohanim and all the Jews? I mean,
yeah, because the people were behind him. The people also, it's when it's working, it's working. I'm sure there was still a big dash running, but Sigdon was Assyrian. Mm-hmm. And then he cuts down, but he says like this, in Pasuk Tedvav, Pasuk Gedalet, but Mizbach HaNachosh Asher Nitmi Hashem Vayakrib Meit Kneupai, Mibin HaMizbach Beit Hashem, Vayitin Oto Al Yerach HaMizbach Tzavona, Vayitzaber HaMelech HaChaz Et Uri HaKoin Lemor Al Mizbach HaGadol HaKfera Tzavlat HaBuker Et Mitchat HaErev Et Olat HaMelech In anger, he takes the kior, which is the thing that Shlomo built, on 12 bakar, and he put it down on the ground, like saying the God's. He was doing things in anger with God. He's saying, basically, our new alliance is with the king of Ashur. Now, keep that in mind. and then remember, his son's going to be Chizkiyahu. Now open up Yishayahu Perek Zayin. Yishayahu Perek Zayin. It starts a new unit in Yishayahu. The first unit up until Perakei was Uziel, and the Siluk Shekhinah was part of the Shekhinah. We sort of skipped Yotam, don't we?
Yeah.
We go from Uziel right to Yotam. Ve'ibe me'achaz ben Yotam ben Uziel melech Yuda. Allah retzi melech Aram utecha v'rmayo ha'melech Yisrael Yerushalayim ve'mechum ha'alea v'lo yichol lechem ha'alea. That's the same story we read before. There's a stalemate now between Aram, between Israel and Yehuda, and Israel's being backed by Aram. Ve'igad le'beit David le'mor nacha Aram al-Ephraim. Word was getting around to Yehuda that what? Aram, Syria, is helping Mishramon, the prime. When the wind's blowing in the trees, you know, storms about to come in. When the storm is brewing, you hear the wind blowing in the trees and stuff like that, you know it's going to get about to get worse. That's what it's like. In other words, the word in Yehuda is it's going to get worse. And we're about to be attacked by a coalition of Syria and Shomron. Say now the Kratachas, Atav Shaya Shubanaha, El Tzei Talat Abrecha Yona, Mesilat Stekoves. What's Yishayo tell? What's God tell Yishayo to tell Achaz? You go, and Shaya Shub is whose son? Is Yishayo's son? That's the name Shaya Shub comes from here. So Shaya Shub is Isaiah's son, not the king's son. Okay. And meet him, El Tzei Talat Abrecha Yona, Mesilat Stekoves. If you've been to your David, you know there's Chizkiyahu's tunnel. Parallel to Chizkiyahu's tunnel, there's another, there's the overground aqueduct that brings water. Stenkoves is where people did the laundry outside your David, because that's where the water flew. So the water from the Gichon used to go to Nachal Kidron, and that place was called Stenkoves. It was a place, I guess, a meeting place where you meet and people talk. So go and meet him by the highway or by the road, the path by Stekoves. Dimatilav. He shamer vashkeit al tira. So don't worry about Ritzin and Aram. Everyone's worried in Yerushalayim. Now, let me tell you something in the background. Not only are they about to fight Yehuda, because there's people in Yehuda who want to join this coalition. And there's a political argument in Yehuda about whether we should join Shomron and Aram or not. And what they want to do, because the king Achaz's position is against Aram and Ephraim, so what they want to do, they want to bring a new government into Yehuda that's pro-Aram and make a coalition with Ephraim. No, we're playing international, Middle East politics here. And therefore, there's a movement within Yehuda to do a coup d'etat and put a pro-Shomron king in Yehuda and dump the Davidic kingdom. And Achaz isn't sure what to do. Should he do nothing? Should he give in and join Ritzin, or should he? What's the name to go to Ashur? So listen what the Navi tells him. V'yamarta elav pasek dalet. Yishomer v'ashket al tira. Be quiet. Be careful. Don't be angry. U'levavcha al yirach. Don't have a soft heart. Mishnei zanvot adun hashem v'ilu v'choriyah Ritzin Aram u'ben Urmayel. He calls these two kings, Ritzin, the king of Aram, and Pekah, the king of Israel, he calls them as a nafsho ud. An ud is a poking stick. You ever do like a mangal? Or the poking stick. The poking stick, you know, you move around the coals with. Now, the poking stick has fire at the end of it, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It's like right at the end. It's always smoking. But when you leave it alone, what happens?
It cools off
and goes dead. So he says, these guys are simply poking sticks are about to lose their steam. Right now they look like they got fire and steam a little bit, but it's steam that's going to go, there's nothing behind it. It's not part of a big fire. He says, don't worry about these guys are nothing. Yan, why? Ki atza lecha ram ra'a. Syria is having plans against you, to do what? Ephraim ubin re'u v'mor. Aram Syria, together with Ephraim, what are they planning to do? Naleb Yehuda v'nikitzena. Let's go and attack Yehuda and cut it off. Bring it into our coalition. This guy named Ben Tavel, some opposition leader in Yehuda. Let's go and take over Yehuda and make a prime king take over Yehuda and get rid of Bakhmutavi. Now, that's the political situation. What's Isaiah telling the king to do? Call Marashem, lo tekum v'lo tiyeh. Don't worry about it. Ain't going to happen. Kirosh Aram Damesek. Rosh Damesek Ritzin. Don't worry about it, because Aram is head of the Mesek, and head of the Mesek is Ritzin. Uvod shishim v'chamei shana yichet tefai me'am. Basically, there's something that's not here that must be assumed. He's saying in 25 years, it was 65 years, right?
65.
Yeah. There must have been an earlier nevuah. It's called a nevuah duma about the fall of Ephraim and the fall of Ashur and the fall of Aram. From an earlier nevi that Yeshayahu assumes everyone knows. He's saying those 65 years are coming to an end now. He's saying, don't worry about them. These powers are falling apart.
Is it coming or not? We're at the end of 65.
Yeah. Because if he's telling him in 65 years it's going to be over, what good is that?
Yeah, I understand.
So what I'm saying is, he's quoting the Nevuah Duma, the earlier one. Brosh Ephraim Shonon, Brosh Shonon Ben Ramel, Im Lo Taminu Ki Lo Temen. He's saying it in a very cryptic way. Bottom line, what he's saying is, don't worry about it. Just leave him alone. Nothing's going to happen. You can protect yourself. You don't need to go to a coalition to help. They're a lost cause. What's he see happening? What the Nebi probably sees happening is that Ashur, remember we're talking about Tigat Kileser. Tigat Kileser didn't need Achaz to tell him to attack the Mesek. Understand? They would have done that anyhow. And what the Nebi was saying is that Ashur, sooner or later, is going to take over Ephraim and Ephraim anyhow. So why bother? Don't make a coalition with them because they're going to lose to Ashur anyhow. And basically stay neutral. And don't get involved.
So the question isn't faith in God, it's faith in the Navi.
Yeah, and what the Navi's telling, it's faith in the political advice of what to do in the situation. Then V'yosef Hashem deber alachaz lemor, Sham na'alacha od mi Hashem alacha, amik sh'alach od mei ma'alach. You want a son, I'll give you a son. No, that I'm with you and that's the right thing to do. V'yomer achaz, and what's achaz say? Lo eshav v'lo anaseh Hashem. What's achaz, what's his approach? Don't do me a favor. Rabbi, get lost. I don't need God. Let me run my country my way. And I think this is all based on the fact that Yotam, even though he was religious and they followed God, at least in the temple is concerned, didn't do much good.
So isn't this reasonable then?
It's very reasonable, yeah. That's why he's going with the son there. Hine alma hara, you let it bend. Hine alma means the maiden, not the the Christians make a big deal about
married.
This one.
I remember being approached on the subway. Because in your Tanakh it says an important responsibility.
Hine alma, you let it bend.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the Targum HaShivim it's called a virgin. Harvi let it bend, Bekachmo Emmanuel. Saying, within 2-3 years' time, what's going to happen? Melech Ashur is going to come. By the time, it says, the Amma's pregnant, she's about to have a kid. His name will be Emmanuel. But before the kid knows to differentiate between good and bad, like 2 or 3 years old, basically, within 2 or 3 years' time, Ashur is going to come and take over Aram. And therefore, don't worry about them. There's no reason to fight them. No reason to deal with them. No reason to make other coalitions. Just stay neutral.
So what is the Nebuah of Emmanuel supposed to prove?
That God is with us.
Right. This lady having this baby naming Emmanuel. And
it's just a sign to remember that God can help you. But the sign is, don't worry about Aram. Don't worry about Aram in the front.
Yeah, but a lot of women got pregnant named the kid Emmanuel. Like, what's the big deal?
No, the main thing he's saying how much time it'll take. In a short amount of time, in 2-3 years, they'll be gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a strange way to...
Yeah, it's a strange...
Because he's in your life, there'll be the changes, things like that. But let's go back on the... There was trouble brewing in the time of his father. But it doesn't say that they were suffering at all.
Politically.
Who's suffering?
No, at the time of
Yotam.
It says during his reign, people they started getting trouble from the north.
Trouble brewing.
Yeah, but the coalition broke up. What's happening? Aram beforehand, under Uziel and Yerovam ben Yoash, things were going great. In the meantime, Rehoboam's kingdom fell apart. It was a coup d'état. with Benjamin Rameau and a whole a bunch of coup d'etats happening afterwards up north. And new more militarist government who are going to align themselves with Aram, who think that Aram are going to resurge. And then in the background, Ashur is this new fledgling superpower that's about to come in. As he left Pilesa. He's like, he's the first big Assyrian king who begins to conquer everybody.
Just today with democratic parties, the idea is we're supposed to do what we can to influence local current events. No one would say, you know what, don't bother voting, just daven better and give more tzedakah.
Yeah.
No one would say that today. And no one would think that's even reasonable to say. One should do what they can.
And sometimes explain to you why Achaz really makes so much sense. And how sharp Isaiah is. Isaiah is almost, if you want to be, I'd be really mean, it's almost like, I'm not saying exactly the same thing and right, but if you remember Yishayahu Leibowitz, before the Six-Day War around that, 20, 30 years ago, it's pretty much, that's exactly the same, but actually he had a different view of religion, but also very, very anti getting involved in politics and military things and just, you know, just be God's people and leave all the other stuff alone. But I'm not sure he's saying the same thing as he did, but I'm just giving an example of someone totally out of left field that no one listens to. No one's listening to Isaiah and all the prophets. They don't listen to him. But I'm trying to explain why is it that Achaz is so angry with the Navi, where he says, I'm not testing God, I don't need God. What's good? He doesn't do us any good. And that's why what happened during the time of Yotam, the fact that things under Yotam, they thought things were fine and things got bad. That's why people get angry with God. So we see the same thing in Yirmiyahu with Yoshiel. And Yoshiel and Isaiah gave them a warning from during Uziel's time, if you don't fix your ways, it's going to get bad. And no one buys it because they don't see anything bad brewing. Because that type of punishment is not going to come overnight. It's going to come over time. And then what happened? Then you get to this vicious cycle because God said, do tshuva. They don't think this social justice stuff means anything. God brings in Ashur, they pray to God help them from Ashur, and God doesn't help them, or from Aram. And God doesn't help them, then they go to Ashur for help. And then even though Ashur, they make a coalition, doesn't help them either, because Ashur is going to come and take them over afterwards. The worst thing is going to be, Chizkiyahu is going to fight Ashur, and they're going to get wiped out. And Chizkiyahu is the firmest king ever.
Well, it's like Albania versus the Soviet Union. I mean, why would they think otherwise?
We might take on the superpower, because they think that God's going to help them.
Sure.
And God doesn't help them.
The work of Mitzrayim.
Yeah. No, they were hoping for Egypt's help, that's why. Now, one more line. Skip to... he gives all these signs with the kids, which are really complicated. But here, in Pasuk Yudchet, he talks about what's about to come. It's what we're up to. Parents have Pasuk Yudchet. Vayabah Yemahu Yisroch Hashem Nisvuv Hashem Yitzei Yorei Mitzrayim. He's comparing Ben Hashur coming like a shaving knife that's going to shave off like all these things are growing. Ashur is going to come and just cut everybody down. But he's predicting the rise of Ashur as a superpower. Then it says afterwards that all the beautiful hills, all the produce, everything that was going so nicely, it's all going to go to waste. Because everything's going to be wasted by Ashur. Now what's interesting in Perachet is what happens. Vayim Hashem Elai, Kachla Gilyon Gadol, Tov Alav Echer Denosh, V'ner Shalach Hashbaz. Make a big sign, make a big placard, and write it in Aramaic. Hashbaz is the translation of Meher Shalach. Got it? Write it in Hebrew and English. Write Meher Shalal Aramaic Hashbaz. Got it? So it's very soon there'll be a lot of Shalal. Means in a soon amount of time you're going to be conquered by this foreign enemy. Two Edim. And this Uriah guy is the guy who Achaz sends later on to build the Mizbeach. The Krav HaNaviyah V'tar V'tay Leben V'yumar Yisham Elay Krashmo Meher Shalal Hashbaz. Why keep it me down now crawl of Evi me? He sat Khelat Damesek with Shlashamon between Mel Hashur. God, within a year's time, see what he's saying? He's saying, in a short amount of time, Ashur is going to take over everything. Yosef Neber Odlimor, Yankim Asa Mazet, Meshach, Ophim Lahad, Masoset Ritzim Ben Ramayo. Okay, the Nehadmoy Male Alem at Mehanar, Atsumim Arabim at Melech Shubha Kol Vadav, Valal Kol Tekev Alach Lachum Kutav. Vachlap Yudav Shatav Yavar Atzava Yagia, Vimutot Kenafon Melech Havar Emanuel. Says, this nation Ashur is going to come in and wipe out everybody. You put your trust in this and that, it's not going to help anybody. You're going to come. There's Roa Amin Bechatu, Azinu Kol Mechakei Aretz, Itazru Bechotu, Itazru Bechotu, Utef Tufar, Dabru Tavar Leikum, Kimanuel. All these things, all your plans ain't going to help you, Ashur is the new superpower. They're going to come in. Now, I want to skip a little bit. We talked about, that's a mention here.
So why send Utef of the Supra?
No, no matter what you're planning, ain't going to help.
Whatever
Hashem wants to do. It's going to happen, yeah. Now, just skip for 1 minute.
Of course, that's not true.
Yeah.
You just told us why it's not true. We preserve the Tshuva the right way, and we won't.
But not with I want to skip to very good Pasuk Hey. And then we'll go back. Yeah. I said skip again before time's up. I want to see what he's saying. He says, Hoy Ashur Shevet Api, Umateh Biodob Zami. Ashur, in Perek Yud Pasuk Hey. Ashur is the shevet of my whip. And Umatei Bidazami, I'm using Ashur as my whip. Lugoi Chanefa Shachenov, Al Anavati Atzareno, Vishlosh Alal Nabazbaz, Sumam Mermaskhom Mutzot. The Nevi is saying, I'm using Ashur as my whip to punish a nation that's gone astray. Buhu Lochen Yedaber. Ashur himself, you were talking about, he's no tzaddik, he's not coming, didn't say the Shem Yuchud, I'm punishing Am Yisrael. He's doing it for his own reasons. He wants to destroy nations and conquer them. All my ministers can become kings. Like I destroyed Karkamish, I'll destroy Kalno. All these cities in Damascus, I'm going to take over like I took over the cities in Ashur. Kasher matzai dir v'mochot ha'alil p'tzidem yushayim v'shomron v'lo kasher si v'shomron v'vek ha'yat tzadu sham v'tzaber. It's just like I'm taking over Shomron, I'll take over Jerusalem.
But this weakens the faith in Hashem and strengthens the belief that their God...
That's right, Ashur is a big one. So in other words, what the Navi is saying is because you didn't listen to me earlier, I'm bringing Ashur, and the only thing you can do now is basically pretty much give in to them. Mm-hmm. But don't make a coalition with them. Don't pay the money to fight your enemy. That's not going to help either. And then what he says, he talks about, then he says, Vayaki yivatsa Hashem et kol masir v'har tzion v'yushoim et kol apri goda l'vav melech Ashur v'al tivret b'umangav. When I finish using Ashur to punish the people I need to punish, I'm going to punish them. Ki amar v'kochi yed v'kochi di asiti v'kochi ki yedavidoti. Yes, the same thing I did it myself. Then look at Pasuk Yudal, it's a famous one. Vitimsa ki kein yadi l'chel ha'amim, ki aso pitim ha'zulot kol ha'aretz ani yasafti, v'lo yanu deit kanaf u'potze pehem tzarzif. What did Ashur say about themselves? I went around from nation to nation like picking up eggs from a nest, and no bird flipped their wings or even chirped. In other words, I came in and just robbed everybody, and no one stopped me. They said, Pira Gazen al Hotseba. He says, you are simply my axe I was using. He says, the blade of the axe isn't haughty about the handle that's attached to. What the Navi is saying, the only reason Ashur was successful is because God gave them that success, and they'll get their punishment. But basically, he's trying to explain to them, don't think Ashur, don't follow the gods of Ashur. Ashur isn't successful because their gods are right. Ashur is successful because I'm using them to punish you. And that's why you have those first several decades of yelling at the people of why he's bringing Ashur in.
The northern kingdom is going to be destroyed. Do we have a sense that these tribes will in the end come back, or are they sort of gone forever?
That he has to talk about here. We'll talk about Shiva Tzion later on. But just look right before that of what they're doing wrong. In Pasuk, the first lines of Perek Yud. We read what he's doing, but finally, in the middle of all this, he explains what they're doing wrong. In Perek Yod, from the very beginning. What are people doing? They're legislating laws that are unjust. Okay. They're making legislation that takes advantage of the poor and the needy. ומה תעשו ביום פקודה על אישה ולשום ממחק תבוא אמיתו תעזרה ואז תעזרו לפותכם. But what the Nebbi is complaining about is about a corrupt society. And there's a law system that's writing laws to help the rich and take advantage of the poor. It's very similar to what he said in the first five chapters. In the first five chapters, that's when it's Mashal HaKerem and everything, that's when he rips into the society. And they're not fixing that. And that's why, I'm trying to explain why, they follow God in the Mikdash, as far as the Mikdash is concerned, but they're not doing, but their society is corrupt. God brings in Ashur, first he brings in Ritzina and Aram and everybody, they don't do tshuva, and then they get angry with God and start going to Ashur for help instead of fixing their society. And then God says, I'm going to bring Ashur to punish you, and then I'll take care of Ashur for their evil. But that's why no one is going to accept Isaiah. And then in chapter 11, Ashur is about to take over everything. Jerusalem is saved at the last minute. And that's the famous Melech HaMashiach. It's supposed to be Chizkiyahu, who's going to do Mishpat and Tzedakah. But that's why Yishayahu is so difficult to follow and understand. Because he's saying something that no one, even to this day, no one would accept. He's basically saying very passive, don't get involved in politics. I'm saying then say don't fight. But don't start putting your trust on treaties with foreign nations. God, the question, what comes first, the chicken or the egg kind of idea, is that the reason you're having, what most people think is, when you're having military trouble, or economic trouble, or droughts and things like that, or climate problems, that's a problem that happens through chance, and then I turn to God to help me, if I pray to God, he'll help me against my enemies, if I pray to God, he'll give me rain, if I pray to God, he'll give me health, he'll give me to stop epidemics, and stop plagues and things like that. It was the basic assumption of most people is that natural disasters happen by chance, political powers rise and fall by chance, and you pray to God to save you from these things. And what the Navi is saying is that these natural disasters and political troubles and military powers, God's using them because of your bad behavior. So if you want to get rid of them, you have to fix your system. What caused them, fix the cause. You need antibiotics, not aspirin.
You think it's black and white corruption as opposed to supply side economics or pro business, which ultimately helps workers? You know, you guarantee minimum wage, people get laid off. I mean, can it be
an open
question?
How to do it the best way is that's not saying what policy to use. He's saying, what's your goal? You know, what are you doing? Because I can say, for the sake of the poor people, I need to lower minimum wage. You follow? That's something else. But here the idea is when you make laws that purposely take advantage of poor people and scheme and things like that, that's using false points and things like that, that's what's bad. Okay, we'll stop there. Next week I want to give a quick introduction. I'll use this to explain the background of Yirmiyahu. We'll end up this transition from the center of Isaiah back to Yirmiyahu. And what